Pretty much all health professionals believe, feel this, probably started out this way. It's like when you go to bid for a house and someone thinks it's worth $100,000 more. That's just their perception of it. And so as health professionals, it's important that we understand that we are not trading time for money. We are trading value for money. And so how can you add more value?
Welcome to Swift Coaches Academy, a podcast dedicated to bringing health and wellness professionals the uncensored truth behind what it really takes to succeed in the health industry with me, your host, Xenia Wood. As an accredited exercise physiologist and business owner for almost a decade, I'm on a mission to transform the lives of ambitious health professionals like you who want more and are ready to take action to create incredible impact in your careers and unlock financial freedom in your business. So join me as I speak candidly with industry leaders about the struggles and successes from within the trenches through thought-provoking conversations.
Today's episode is part two of the Money Mindset Masterclass Snapshot. So if you haven't listened to the most recent episode on money mindset, it was talking about my limiting beliefs from money then and now and how I've changed those and how I've shifted those. I think that that provides a lot of great insight. So if you haven't listened to that one, go and do that now, then come back. If you have, we are here for the 9 limited money mindset beliefs, what is limited, and then transitioning that into a growth money mindset and not just telling them to you, but actually explaining through story and through my own experiences why I believe there are certain limitations to some of our money mindsets that we may or may not be aware of and how to go about shifting those. So here we go. Let's dive in.
I'm going to go through a lot of limited money mindset beliefs and then shift these to growth mindsets and talk a little bit about them and why I believe that these shifts are really critical to help you grow. The first limiting belief is to save my money. The growth mindset version is I need to invest my money in appreciating assets. Who's heard cash is king? Who's heard cash is trash? Because cash used to be king when your parents were like 30. That's when cash was king. That's when you did fucking store it under your mattress because the banks weren't trusted and you wouldn't get much for it. But now, when you put your money in an offset account, if you have a mortgage, you get like 3% back per year of how much you put it. Say you put like 100K in your offset account, just sits there because you're like, oh, this will help with my mortgage, 3%. The inflation in the last 12 months is like 7, 8%. So you're negative 5% keeping your money in that account. Negative 5%. Obviously, putting that in something that actually appreciates and doesn't decrease, but just by slightly less than everything else, is still not a great money mindset to have. Does that make sense to everyone? Are we following with that? Cool. Awesome. So the next one is, I'm not in it for the money. I believe that's a limiting money mindset belief. I think it's helpful to have that sort of ideology and also make sure that we understand money as a tool to help serve more people. Because when we say I'm not in it for money, usually what happens is money is precious. I don't have the money to do that. I can't do that. I shouldn't be profiting from my passion. It feels icky, especially in healthcare. Who's thought those sorts of things? Like upping my prices, but I'm here to help people. I'm not here for the money. And yet, none of us run non-for-profits. So we are therefore for-profit. And therefore we are somewhat in it for the money, absolutely. Otherwise, we could just go and work some cushy job for someone else. But we're here also because we want to make a difference, and what we've probably seen isn't aligned with what we believe is best for the people. And money is just one tool to help us serve more people. I was speaking earlier today with one of my highest level mentees, and we're talking about equity, and she was saying, yeah, I need to have $400,000 so that I can purchase this facility and all the equipment. And I was like, but you don't always need money to purchase that. Like, what if you could create a brand relationship where you got the equipment of whatever company and brought it into your flagship location? And then that became the host of that. And that was a state-of-the-art facility, and they house their equipment, and that became their showroom. And you post about it and talk about it all the time. And you either get them at wholesale price, you get them for free, you get 20% off, whatever it is. But money is just one tool. Your branding, your exposure, your connections, your partnerships are much better tools to leverage rather than just throwing money at something, at a problem. And when we look at it like that, then a lot of opportunities open up because you don't need money to create relationships. Next one. Limiting belief is I look at my bank accounts less than once a week. I'm hoping everyone in this room is doing it more than once a week or at least once a week. I'm not going to name and shame or ask you to pop your hands up if you're not, but just know if this is you, looking at your bank accounts needs to happen because what isn't measured isn't managed. Same as in the gym. You're not going to lose weight if you don't check your jump on the scales as easily. You can absolutely lose weight, but if you're not measuring it, you don't know. If you're not looking at your bank, the people who I know who are so fucking good at their money, look at it every single day. Every single day, how much money comes in, how much money goes out, what's going out, what's coming in, how can we leverage that? What are those bigger purchases or what things have brought more money into my business? What things are taking more money out of my business? Because a lot of the time what happens is we're worried about it. So we A, don't talk about it, but B, we don't look at it and we put these blinkers on. I literally had a message this morning that said, hey, I was really nervous to check my finances after we spoke about it. And then I did it and I realized I was $30,000 up versus last year. I was like, this is why we do these things. But you could have affected more money had you been looking at it more frequently before digging your head into the sand with it. It's kind of like not looking at the scales and then in 20 years being like, fuck, I'm 20 kilos overweight. Would have helped if I just managed that a little bit better, a little bit earlier. Next one. I like this one. The limited money mindset, I believe, is I should invest my money in a house and get a mortgage for 30 years. I believe the growth money mindset is I should invest my money in things with the greatest growth potential or the greatest appreciating assets. And then my side note, which I put on Instagram the other day, was my business increased by 600% in 18 months. I don't know a house that can do that. Yes, there is a little bit more physical work that goes into it. Yes, it's not as quote unquote passive, but nothing's passive. Nothing's truly passive. You have to be the person who decides to make the investment in that thing. That's an active decision. You have to be the person who chooses the financial advisor who invests in the thing. That's an active decision. Some things can be more hands-off where we are affecting, not earning our money and figuring out for us what balance that is. I'm not saying property is bad because clearly I have some, and the way that I choose to look at that are investments that make me money now and in the future. I was doing all of the math this morning on like how much it is for a house, including what you'd pay on average plus inflation, and then what it would actually be worth to resell it and if you'd profit from it. And it's like, well, I'm still going through the numbers, but it's almost net level. So you pay for a house, let's say it's $700,000, and then the bank loan makes it like 1.7 mil is what you actually pay. And then in 30 years, this is if you keep it for 30 years and then sell it in 30 years time, it's worth like 2.8 mil. But with inflation, plus the cost of, like, that's not including investing anything into actually like upgrades, maintenance, rates, fees, all of that. In 30 years' time, 2.8 million isn't worth much more than, I think it's worth like 1.5 mil in today's dollars, but you just got a house deposit for 1.7, or a house loan, sorry, on your $700,000 house for 1.7. So actually negative $300,000. Is that wild? But we think that that's what you're supposed to do because everyone, it's the fucking Australian dream. It's bullshit is what it is. When I did the numbers on this, I was like, are you kidding? Like, this is why I've decided to have housemates live with me at this stage in my life, because I want it to be an asset that makes me money now. Not fucking wait until I'm 60 and wrinkled and then have an extra couple hundred K maybe if I do some renovations on my house. And that's why I think that having a property as an investment property and having other people live in it and it makes you money is a much better option than buying this house that's a fucking liability because everything breaks and you have to fix it and you still have to pay all your rates bills and, oh, actually I'm negative. I think that you can absolutely have your primary home and being like, I'm fucking okay with that. That's an emotional expense. That helps. That's an asset for my emotional well-being. That's totally fine. And making sure that where most of our money is going is investments with greater growth potential. And for me, like I said, I don't know anything else other than business that can increase in 600% in 18 months. I don't think it exists without investing significant amounts into it. And fuck, even if you invest a couple $100,000 in a house, you're not going to get a 600% increase. Next one that is limiting is money is the most precious resource I have. A lot of people think this. A lot of people think, like I was speaking before, saying that, you know, I have to have this money to pay for this thing and whatnot. But the growth money mindset is time is the most precious resource I have, because you hear a lot of very successful million billionaires who say, I would go back to fucking $0 in my bank account if I could be 20 years old again. And I probably would do it too, because I would get to where I am now in a fucking fifth of the time, because I back myself and I know that I can create and affect money better now with what is up here. And that's it. Not including all the networks we have and things like that. If you want to dive into this a little bit, I found it really fucking interesting. Grant Cardone, he's not everyone's cup of tea. I totally get that. But Undercover Billionaire is a fucking great show. If you haven't seen that already, really, really love it. They have to go under, they can't show their name. They have to like change their identity and their looks and things. And they go to zero. They get a phone with no contacts on it. They can't contact anyone they know. And they get $100 and a pickup truck. And they get dumped in the middle of fucking whoop, whoop, this low socioeconomic town. And in that town, they have to make $1 million in 90 days. It's wild. And it just goes to show that if you have the work ethic, if you have the knowledge, you can create that stuff. He can't earn on the tools $1 million in 90 days, no fucking way. But he can leverage his knowledge and partnerships with other people through influence to be able to help create money. And that's fucking cool. So I believe that time is our most precious asset and resource, not money. And treating it as such. Because every time you say, oh yeah, but it just takes me 5 minutes, you say that 20 times a day or a week, you are saying, oh yeah, time's my most precious asset, but not more precious than 5 minutes of reconciling my bank statements every night, except for the fact that you're still earning money. And actually, when you're bank reconciling, you're not earning anything and you're not affecting anything either. So we're below that on the scale. So how can we start affecting money? And absolutely, you need to get really fucking good at your craft first. You need to be able to prove your results, and there's time in the trenches doing that stuff. And how else can we affect money? Limiting belief: as a health pro, I trade time for money. Pretty much all health professionals believe, feel this, probably started out this way. I see the growth money mindset is, as a health professional, I trade value for money, because diamonds are only worth what they're worth because of the people who fucking marketed them back in the day. Literally. They tried doing, I can't even remember what it was. They tried doing diamonds for some other occasion or something, whoever it was who, I don't know the full story. I probably should look into this, but they tried to use diamonds as like a gift that you give for something else or some other day of the year or whatever. And it didn't work. And then they were like, no, diamond is the thing that you have on your wedding ring or like before or whatever. And it used to just be whatever you wanted. And then everyone was like, yep, diamonds. And then they exponentially increased in value. They're not actually like, the stone isn't actually like, it's worth more because people say it's worth more. It's like when you go to bid for a house and someone thinks it's worth $100,000 more. That's just their perception of it. And so as health professionals, it's important that we understand that we are not trading time for money. We are trading value for money. And so how can you add more value? Because then we stop going, oh yeah, but Sally down the road's only $65 for a half hour session. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what Sally's doing. Is Sally actually adding more value than you? And if she is, how can you add more value? Because value doesn't come in the form of how much physical time I spend in front of you. I can spend 10 minutes with someone and something flicks in their head and a switch is changed and they go and fucking make $10,000. It's not about the time. And in fact, I'd prefer to do 10 minutes than 10 hours to create the same result. That's affecting money. I don't want my clients to wait fucking 4 years to get a result. I don't think they want to wait that long either. And they're they're usually willing to spend more money to get a faster result. So why are we still trading time for money and not talking about the value exchange? Actually, one thing I wanted to go back to, I've got in my notes here, what is expensive? Because I think a lot of times, oh, I'm too expensive. I'm not sure, you know, that's expensive. Compared to what? Compared to, hopefully, if it's in your service industry, it's something that's not comparable and you're creating a market of one. I know, Steph, that your Pilates Plus program, no one else does that. So expensive compared to what? Compared to someone in fucking America who is not part of your market, right? Expensive is based on usually a comparison, but if you don't have a comparison and you have a results-driven outcome, then expensive is relative. Next one, limited money mindset beliefs. People who want more money are greedy or selfish. The growth mindset version is people who want more money want to help more people. And absolutely, as we spoke about in our last masterclass, it has to start with you, because you can't help someone grow their money mindset if you are homeless and live on the street and don't have money and don't know how to create money. My belief and what I've seen is that absolutely there are people who have money and are greedy. There are people who don't have money and are greedy. Money doesn't make people greedy. Wanting more money doesn't make people greedy. People are generally who they are and absolutely can change, and we know this. And greed and money are not cause and effect. They're different things. No worries, Laura. So what I've seen is that people who want more money also want to help more people. They're the ones who start charities and put their own money into things and initiatives to help. And typically the people who want the most money realize they need to create the most impact. And so yes, there's part of it that might be selfish, but you get to a point where you're like, I don't need any more money. I'm sure the billionaire's like, I've got enough houses. Who else can I help? Right? Like having an extra zero in your bank account at that point doesn't fucking really do anything. And I get that we are not there yet. I get that that feels forever away. And if we see what people who are there do create a fuck ton of impact, then we know that money goes along with that. And we know that those are the ones who tend to give back and help the most. Love this one. I'm not sure if you know why. But the limiting belief is that money is scarce, and the growth money mindset is that money is abundant. Money is an infinite resource. You know what happens when we don't have enough in the world? The government fucking prints more money. So we've got enough of it. They stopped relating it to gold because we had more money in circulation than gold. And that's why it goes off of a fucking fake currency that the banks are inflating, which is why everything's going up, because they're just giving everyone more money. It's not doing anything. It's actually devaluing the dollar that you have in your hand every time the government goes and just fucking prints some more. And the reason the Taylor Swift tickets are on here is because during the peak of rates going up for the fucking 15th time in a row or whatever it is, and inflation at a pretty big high at the moment, and potentially an impending recession, people paid $1,200 for a single ticket to see Taylor Swift 2 weeks ago. And she made $35 million from her 7 Australian shows alone in the span of 48 hours or whatever the open time for those tickets were. So people, this goes back to what they value. It's not trading time. I'm not going, oh, I'm only seeing Taylor Swift for 3 hours. So 3 hours is roughly, you know, $50 an hour. Oh, but it's a group environment, so it's actually less than that. No, I'm going, fuck that. this has a lot of value for me. Of course I'm investing that. And so did fucking 500,000 other people. And then everyone else who missed out. Sidebar, I didn't get a ticket. And I literally am looking at tickets in Tokyo because the value is there. That's the point. Money is not scarce. Money is abundant. If you hang around people who say money is scarce, you will think and feel those things. If you hang around people who think money is abundant and money is a resource, not the only resource, you'll start to see those things and those opportunities. Last one, the limited belief is I don't believe I'm worth more money. I know that I've had conversations with a fair few of you who said this to me. And the shift here is, what would I need to do in order to charge more? It might be internal work, actually just fucking believing in you. Or it might be going, you know what? I really do think, genuinely, hand on heart, I'm offering a great service and I'm at the limit of where value and money exchange is pretty good. To get to here, I need to add more value, not more time in front of someone, but more value. And how could I do that? What would I need to do? So this might be for you just an internal belief thing where you know that you could be charging more and it's just coming from here. Or it could be the value exchange and you go, no, I really want to over deliver because right now I feel like I'm delivering, not over delivering.
I have a tiny favor to ask of you, and that is to just hit that subscribe button if you have not done it yet. If you've made it this far, then I hope that this has been valuable for you and for us to get more incredible guests in front of your earlobes and faces. If you're watching us on YouTube, then please do that now. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for me or something that was a golden nugget that really stood out to you in this episode, I would absolutely love if you flicked me a message over on Instagram at Xenia Wood Official. Until next episode, and in whatever you do, move swiftly.